Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, we're going north of the wall today. AFC North and NFC North. Sneaky storylines and that awesome Game of Thrones reference. Can Golden Tate be this year's best sleeper wide receiver? How will Ben Roethlisberger do without Martavis Bryant? I'm Adam Azer. This is Fantasy Football Today. I got Heath, Jamie, and Dave here. Before we tackle the North, fellas, is Bruce Arians really going to ruin fantasy for everybody? Is he really going to split the carries, ride the hot hand in Arizona? What is up with Bruce Arians?
Yeah, he's going to split it right down the middle.
Mm.
Three ways. Well, I guess it's not right down the middle.
From what I heard that he said, it wouldn't matter because they were going to throw the ball to Michael Floyd so much that nobody was going to get any carries anyway.
Oh, you read that too, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to be the first team in NFL history to attempt 1,000 passes in a season.
And oh, Bruce would love it.
I think Carson Palmer would love it.
Nah, I don't think he would.
He might get tired.
His massage therapist would love it.
Adam, what are your big plans this weekend?
Oh, I'm going to the city tomorrow for a birthday party. And that's it. What about you?
I'm going to a birthday party tonight.
Tonight? Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, it's my wife's birthday. We're going out for a very nice dinner at a new place we've never been to.
Where?
Cap's Place.
Never heard of it. Sounds seafoody.
So when you go to the restaurant,
yes.
Do you have anything you may ask the waiter?
Well, I mean, I'm going to ask him what the special is.
What the special? All right, wait, let's play this out. Dave, you play the role of server. I'll play the role of patron.
All right, I'm ready.
All right.
Good evening.
Hi.
Welcome to Seafood Restaurant.
Hi.
We have some exciting specials this evening.
I would love to hear them.
Well, we've got a shrimp special, we've got an octopus special, and we've got a caviar special.
Well, the octopus special sounds delicious.
It is.
How much is the octopus special?
Well, it's an interesting question you ask. It's $49.95.
$49.95. So if I give $49.95 and a $100 tip, that's how much?
All right, listen, I understand that you're making fun of me, and that's all well and good, but serious question. It's really not okay to ask how much the special is? Like, what's wrong with that?
I don't know that it's not okay.
Does octopus go for $49.95?
I mean, it really depends. If I'm going out to a sports bar with my buddies and we're going to watch a game, then yeah, I'll absolutely ask how much the special is. If I'm taking my girlfriend or wife out for a nice dinner, then I don't say how much is the special.
Well, that's... I mean, it was kind of a combination between the two for me. I think it's totally reasonable. I was in New York City. That special could have been 30-something dollars, and I'm not interested in paying that. I think it's perfectly fine to ask how much things cost.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no problem with it. I'm proud of what I did. I think I did the right thing. I do want to talk about that.
An acceptable amount for the special?
It was $21. I think anything more than that would have been pushing it. I wouldn't have spent more than $25, that's for sure.
This sounds like a discussion for when we talk fantasy auctions.
Yes.
Well, right, exactly.
Antonio Brown, $21? I thought that was fine, but no way was I going to go to $25.
So, yeah, we'll break down those eight teams in the two divisions. We have a lot of news for you, but I do want to start with the splitting of the carries because Bruce Arians saying he'll decide on how he's going to distribute the carries on a game-to-game basis, and then we have a report from ESPN's Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky.
But before you go there, though, let's just play the David Johnson game. We assume that Bruce Arians is not going to follow through on what he says, right?
I hope, yeah.
At what point with David Johnson's touches would you be concerned? Like, we were going on the basis of he's going to get, what, 70% of the running back touches?
Around there.
Okay.
Maybe a smidge.
So
less.
At what point do you start to get nervous? If it's 50 for him and 50 for the other guys, are you nervous?
I wouldn't want to take him with a first round pick, I don't think. Although, listen, 50% of the touches, how many touches did running backs in Arizona get last year? A ton.
Let's just say 20.
A game?
Yeah.
So 50% of that is 10 per game.
Right.
You don't take that in round one.
Right. I mean, at what point do we start to,
but it's more than 20.
Oh, I think it's definitely, I think it's got to be more than,
So, okay, so say 30.
Dude, it's going to come down, as it always does, to what the score of the game is, what the situation in the game is, the Cardinals will feel safe taking David Johnson.
Totally in agreement with you. I just think the question is now, because this is what people are afraid of. They know Chris Johnson's name. We've been telling them for 2 years prior to this year that Andre Ellington was somewhat of a thing, whether it panned out or not.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that name. At some point, and this is we get this question. It's one that out of every or two out of every 10 people.
I think it's people more who are worried about David Johnson as a second-year running back not living up to the hype.
But it's also
– so many second-year running backs not live up to the hype.
Now there's another layer to it because, yeah, I was a little not concerned about David Johnson. I think he's really good, but just concerned about how I've been wrong in the past about second-year running backs. And I always say it, Jeremy Hill left a really bad taste in my mouth from last year. So I am worried about that, but no, now there is another layer to it. If you take Bruce Arians at even 50% of face value, I don't think he's really going to distribute the carries on a game-to-game basis, and I think the cream will rise to the top. But this report scares me a little bit. I think, like, picking him third in a draft like we've seen, I think that's a reach for David Johnson.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
His touches were really sporadic even in the last 6 weeks last year.
It was from, you got to look week 13 on, because week 12 is when Chris Johnson got hurt.
Okay, week 13 he had 22 carries and 2 catches. Great.
It was a blowout win for Arizona, I would assume.
Then 19 and 5.
Also great.
Then 29 and 4.
Also great.
That's the Philly game, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Keep going.
Then 9 and 3.
What game was that?
That was Green a Bay. Blowout. Blowout 38-8 win.
And then blowout. Seattle 11 and 3.
A 30-point loss.
Right. But in the playoffs, he got good work too.
I'm not worried one bit.
But Adam, I'm surprised just based on how you look at this, because you usually do a good job with this. Look, and I'll save this for, I'll let you do this Monday. Look at David Johnson's numbers over those final 6 games, you said?
Well, if we're not counting week 12, then I think it's 5.
Okay, 5 games. Over those final 5 games, take out the Philadelphia game and look what his yards per carry is, because it's not good.
No?
No.
Yeah, okay, well.
You're looking for volume.
You're looking for volume in a good offense. The thing that scares me about what Bruce Arians says, this offense should be great, right? We all agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. So Chris Johnson goes in for a series. Bruce Arians says we're going to ride the hot hand. He goes off on that series. And David Johnson maybe got off to a bad start because he's facing a fresh defense early in the game.
Jamie, I think his yards per carry were fine.
Take out the Philly game.
Yeah, well, I'll give it to you game by game. We'll finish up our discussion here with David Johnson and move on.
It's under 4 yards per carry on.
Well, okay. You know what? Just before I even jump in, I will tell you. Let me look it up first, and then I'll jump in with the actual stats game by game. Here we go. Game by game for David Johnson, starting with what week?
13.
All right. So against St. Louis, it was 4.5. Against Minnesota, it was 4.8. Against Philadelphia, 6.4. Against Green Bay, 4.3, and then Seattle, 2.3. Then Green Bay, 2.3 in the playoffs, and Carolina, 4.0. So I think it was higher than that, Jamie.
Okay. I don't know where I read it somewhere where it was under 4. Maybe it's for the final, including the playoffs.
Maybe, but even that would surprise me. It's better. I think it's pretty solid.
Okay.
And he had a lot of long runs, too. And we saw with our own two eyes. I mean, you can break down the stats all you want for a rookie running back. We saw how talented the guy is. Mm-hmm. We saw how versatile the guy is.
How often are defenses going to stack the box against David Johnson?
It's still, sure. And
never.
And he's so much better than Chris Johnson. Really wore down.
Yeah, I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Okay. He's good.
He's great.
You don't take good players off the field.
He's not good. He's great.
So where are you taking him right now? Right now, based
round
on this.
Round one.
Report. Yeah, back half of the first round.
All right. How about Eddie Lacy? So Packers reporter Rob Domofsky thinks that the Packers are going to split carries between Lacy and Starks in the first half of the season, and then turn Lacy loose in the second half of the season. What do you make of this?
Until James Starks fumbles in week 1, and then Lacy dominates carries. I would almost look at this in the same way, almost the same way as the Arizona one. The very best players are going to be on the field more often than not. I don't see a 50-50 split between Lacy and Starks, unless Lacy sucks. No one's looking at it that way, though. Everybody sees a slimmed-down Lacy who looks good in camp, should be able to contribute back to what we remember him in his first 2 seasons.
Okay, so no downgrade here.
I'm not downgrading because of this news. I'm the lowest on him and feeling pretty uncomfortable with that right now because of positive reports. Yeah, I'd like to actually see him moving. And right. Like,
but where do you have him ranked?
The video. Running back 14.
And who's ahead of him?
LeSean McCoy, Thomas Rawls, Devontae Freeman.
So stop where you would put him.
Well, right now it's where I'd put him. I mean,
ahead of Freeman?
No.
No, I've got him.
But I'm saying, like, when you start to feel better about him, like, where, how high do you think you'll put him?
I really don't think I'll put ahead of Mark Ingram, so I think probably 10th.
Okay. And
that's in the range.
And if I see Eddie Lacy and he looks like crap, then I'm moving him down to where you have him right now, if not lower.
Right.
So, I mean, of course it's all, you know, we're talking about fantasy and drafts and everybody's psyched about fantasy football. This is all part of the preparation. Nobody should be in a draft now. If you are, then you're taking a risk with your
team. But it's keepers, though. People are making decisions on keepers.
That's fine, but the keeper decisions also linger into late August. And that's when people, mid to late August is typically when people start to
get very serious. There are people that have to make keeper decisions now. And so if people have to decide on David Johnson, the thing about David Johnson is mostly he's with a late round pick because of where he was either picked up or
which makes him a no-brainer keeper.
With Lacy, there are people that are like, well, if I could still keep Eddie Lacy in the second round, do I do it? And that's the tough call right now. The thing that's nice about both these scenarios, Adam, is these are easy handcuffs to take. You draft David Johnson early, you know you can get Chris Johnson. You maybe have to take him sooner than you want to, but you take him late. Stark's the same thing. These are guys, it's not like the Le'Veon D'Angelo situation. It's not like what we talked about the last couple of days with the Jaguar situation, with the Dolphin situation where you're committing to mid-round picks, these guys. They're easy late-round picks to take with Starks and Chris Johnson.
Yeah, now you talk about taking Eddie Lacy in the second round for a keeper. Got an email here from Kevin. It's our email of the day at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Kevin says, I'm in a league in which we can keep one player. It counts as a first round pick, and I can keep that player as many years as I want. No limitation. So, Le'Veon Bell, is he still a first round pick in that kind of format? Keeper league, you can keep him for as long as you want. Would you rather keep Le'Veon Bell or Lamar Miller in that case?
Miller's the same round?
Yeah, anybody's your first round
pick. Anybody you keep is a first round pick, but you'd be your first round pick forever.
I would keep Miller.
That's really
you're marrying
close.
One of these guys.
The thing about Le'Veon is he's one suspension away from missing a year, or one drug test away from missing a year,
and he could be one knee injury away from.
But that's
also,
that's anybody. Yeah, he's more relevant. He's more relevant, but still, like the concern for me with him at this point is if he misses a phone call on the drug tester, changes his phone number again. I mean, this guy's got a track record now. He's been suspended 2 years in a row. Do you want Josh Gordon on your hands again?
Man, it's tough though, because Bell is a lot better
really
than Lamar Miller.
Much, yes.
And I love Miller. The other thing is, you may take this into account. The Steelers may decide after this year, bye bye Le'Veon. We're done with this headache. Yeah. The Texans are committed to Lamar Miller for the next couple years.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys like Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson that I have ranked ahead of Lamar Miller in a redraft league. If it was one of those guys, I would probably say Bell. But Miller's still so young and just signed this deal. I think I'd have to agree, Miller.
Okay. Dave, consensus?
Yeah, put me down for Miller.
Cool. So today with the news and notes, there's Arian Foster news, Thomas Rawls, Josh Doctson, Colts receivers, Ladarius Green's on the PUP list. Nothing too major. So let's go with two teams from the North, and we'll start in the AFC North to the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's my sneaky storyline for the Cincinnati Bengals, because, you know, I got a tweet yesterday. It said, hey, if I draft Jeremy Hill, should I also take Giovanni Bernard? You have to invest two kind of early, you know, mid-round picks on those two. But my question with the Bengals, can either of these Cincinnati running backs be great this year without an injury to the other one?
I think so. I think Bernard can be. It's not likely, but I do see him as somebody that if he just scores touchdowns like he did 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he was scoring 7 or 8 touchdowns a year and continues to be the more efficient back and they give him 180 carries instead of 150 like he got last year and he catches 50 passes again, then he's going to be a borderline running back one, maybe just a regular running back one.
But if you give Jeremy Hill a better rushing average from last year, the guy's a slam dunk top 10 fantasy running back because of all those touchdowns that he scores.
If he scores that many again.
True.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go to Geo's track record, Hill's track record's pretty good from his 2 years in the NFL.
Right.
So touchdowns, I don't think, are really going to be a concern with him. Like, you don't want to bank on touchdowns, clearly, but
right.
there's a good track record of him being in that role and doing that. I think they can be in the sense of all Hill has to get is another couple of hundred rushing yards, and you'll feel better about him because of the touchdowns. And all Geo has to do is to get another couple touchdowns, and you feel better about him. Can they both be top 10? No. Can they both be top 20-ish? It wouldn't be shocking.
Oh, I think they can, yeah.
Yeah.
Where did they finish in 2014?
Would it be a surprise if their 2013 version of what the Chargers had with Matthews and Woodhead, when both were good?
They were both top 20 in 2014.
Yeah, but Jeremy Hill was
18th and Hill was ninth.
Jeremy Hill was a stud in 2014.
In the second half of the year, and Gio was more in the early half of the year.
He also missed three games that season, didn't he, Gio?
That's when Hill took off.
So,
yes.
I think what's so interesting about this is that Jeremy Hill was having a bad year, week after week after week, and he still got so many carries. So it makes me question: do they think Giovanni Bernard can even handle a heavy workload? And they seem to still have confidence in Jeremy Hill. Was he playing hurt last year? How can a guy go from averaging 5.1 yards per carry to 3.6 yards per carry? I still think there's a lot of talent there. I'm in a standard scoring league. I'm still excited about Jeremy Hill with where he's falling.
Yeah, I moved Hill up a couple spots to that. To me, he's after I'll put Carlos Hyde in that group still of guys I feel confident in. I put him at the front of the group of guys, like, if I'm going to take a chance on somebody, this is a good guy to take a chance on because of the workload. And there was a report earlier that he looked good. I guess, I don't know, start training camp, but the end of mini camp, that he seems like he's in good shape and dedicated. I mean, he got the opportunity is going to be there for him. And without Eifert, without Sanu, without Jones, what makes sense for this offense? Maybe develop your running game or get your running game going to not put Andy Dalton in long, passing down situations when he doesn't have the caliber receiving core that he's been used to the last couple of seasons.
Can I take a stab at what happened to Hill last year? And I don't have inside information, but I saw him in person. I saw him in training camp last year, and he looked phenomenal last year, seemed confident last year. When he started fumbling the ball, I think that took a toll on him mentally, and I think that impacted how he ran last year.
He did seem to run tentative.
Yeah, and I think if he's got to get over that, and I don't necessarily love that Hugh Jackson isn't there anymore, because I think Hugh Jackson was, A, the guy who stayed confident in Jeremy Hill and gave him those opportunities, and B, could talk him into saying, man, forget about the fumbles, focus on the here and now, go out there and do your thing.
Oh, I'm sure Marvin will do it. And look, they have the same.
I hope somebody does it.
They promoted from within, so that's not a terrible situation.
Ken Zampezi, anytime there's an offensive coordinator who's a former quarterback, I always think that they're going to lean toward passing a little bit more.
I'm not trying to talk
him down, because he's still, I don't know where you moved him up to, Jamie, but I've got him 17th among running backs.
He's in that range, 17, 18.
Right. So I think that's fair for him. That puts him in round four. And I think that he's got the better chance of having a good year between the two if both running backs stay healthy.
Okay, so that's Jeremy Hill. Let's go to the Detroit Lions. Golden Tate was the number 24 wide receiver last year in PPR leagues, number 34 in standard scoring leagues. The year before that, he was 12th in standard, 13th in PPR. But, of course, Calvin Johnson was hobbled or out for several of those games. Five games, either hobbled and playing as a decoy or out in 2014. Golden Tate, your Detroit Lions storyline. Could Tate be the best sleeper wide receiver this year? Heath, you get the first word.
I don't know that he could be the best sleeper wide receiver, just because I feel like some of that upside's already being baked into where he's being drafted. He's being taken as a 24th wide receiver off the board in standard scoring leagues. So to be the best sleeper wide receiver, he'd have to finish top 10.
Okay, yeah. Can we change the question, Adam?
Sure. But the basis of my question was that in those five games without Calvin Johnson either missing it entirely or just, being on the field as a decoy, Golden Tate was probably the best wide receiver in fantasy in those five games.
I want to change the question to, can he be a top 10 receiver this year? Can he break out to where we've never seen him before, where he plays like a stud number one fantasy receiver?
That's
he was a top 10 guy that year, though.
So he was 12th and 13th.
12th.
In 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
It's possible. I think he's way down the list of receivers for me that could become a top 10 wide receiver.
He took a little bit of a hit this week with Bolden because the thing about where Tate can win a lot of his matchups is when they put him in the slot. And Bolden at this point in his career is better in the slot. So they're going to move both those guys around. There was a report out of Detroit yesterday about how they're going to use their receiving core. Marvin Jones clearly is going to be on the outside. So you'd like to see Tate stay in the slot where he has such an advantage based on his skill set. I still think there's a lot to like about Golden Tate. You mentioned, Adam, the numbers that he put up without Calvin there. His targets have been still pretty consistent throughout the course of his two-year tenure in Detroit. So you figure that gets a little bit of a boost with Calvin's, you know, I think was it 170 targets gone now from what Calvin did for them last year. Mm-hmm. So he's an excellent number two receiver to me. You know, top 30-ish, however you want to put him right. To me. He's got top 20 upside. The one thing that I don't like about the Bolden addition, I think it takes just a little bit away from him. But I still think, though, that this is going to be the number one receiver for him. The other part of it is he did say that coming into the year, they have basically a whole new playbook because Jim Bob Cooter basically just took over what they were doing last year. And he said it's a clean slate. I don't think that hurts him, but you just have to take that a little bit into consideration that he's got to learn something new when there are new faces around him.
Well, he can't average 9 yards per catch and be a breakout. So I think they just kind of threw the ball very short last year. Maybe that changes a little bit in Jim Bob Cooter's
right,
first full year.
And Calvin took the top off of defenses, and the focus was on taking Calvin away, so that opened things up underneath. This is one of we talked so much about them yesterday. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but the Lions' offense is actually going to be really interesting to check out in the early portion of the year.
Yeah, definitely. All right, here are your news and notes. First, the running backs. Arian Foster's on the PUP list. Thomas Rawls will not be ready for the start of camp. Atlanta wants Tevin Coleman to catch more passes. And the Eagles signed Darren Sproles to a one-year extension. Foster PUP list. Rawls not going to be ready for the start of camp. Coleman catch more passes potentially in Atlanta. And Sproles one-year contract extension. Anything that really jumps out to you guys there?
How long do we wait before we downgrade Thomas Rawls?
I already did. After putting him up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my first thought that stuck out here. I'm not sure, because I had him a little lower than you did anyway. I'm not sure if I'm ready to downgrade him today, but if he's not practicing in 10 days.
Yeah, then he'll start to free fall.
You got to really start to drop him.
Well, how many days/weeks does a young running back need to prepare for an NFL season, in your opinion? All of our opinions.
I think, it's. You could look at it two ways. You could say he's younger, so he's probably doesn't need as much time to get into shape. Mm-hmm. Or he's younger, so he probably does need more time to learn the plays and stuff.
I don't really care how old he could be, 100 or he could be 6. If Alex Collins and CJ Procise and Christian Michael are gangbusters in practice.
Was that our first Christian Michael mentioned on the podcast this year?
No.
Oh, unfortunately. That's disappointing.
But if those guys all play great, then that's going to hurt Rawls because he's still – look, they have nothing invested in him. I mean, he's undrafted rookie free agent from a year ago. So not that they're getting rid of him by any stretch, but it's not like, hey, we have to appease the guy that we spent a big contract on.
It's not Marshawn Lynch.
Right. So if anybody else goes in – and I think we're going to find out pretty quickly who's the number two guy there, because that could be the one that we're not telling people enough to draft late, because Procise is not going to be that guy.
No.
Procise is going to be their passing down guy. So is it Alex Collins or is it Christian Michael?
Yeah, we'll find out. But we were literally 2 days ago talking about how Rawls could be a rising star. So,
which he still is.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think they're seriously worried about Rawls not being available for week one. It's just a matter of how much work he gets in before week one. I would sound off the siren on him if by dead middle of August, August 15th.
Third preseason game.
If he's not there by
leading into the third preseason game.
Fair. And he's got to practice that week too. So
that's what I said, leading into the third preseason.
Yes. August 15th is before that. So I think August 15th, if he's still on the PUP list, that's when you get worried.
Do you think?
But he's not on the PUP list, is he?
Yeah.
I thought they kept him off.
They haven't opened camp yet.
Yeah.
If he's hurt and he's not going to practice, where do you put him?
No, but I don't think they've officially put him anywhere yet. Or Graham.
Right. Now, do you think Devontae Freeman, we should be worried about his PPR value with this Atlanta Tevin Coleman report?
No.
Okay. Moving on. Wide receivers. Josh Doctson, he's had an Achilles injury since May. He's downloading it? No, he's downplaying it. Redskins receiver Josh Doctson. The Indianapolis Star talking about how the Colts are going to use a lot of three receiver sets. That's not a surprise. We've spoken about that. Steve Smith, Heath. What an Achilles injury. More on that in a second. And Baltimore's wide receiver, Mike Wallace, failed his conditioning test, off to a great start with that signing.
Well, he passed it.
So he passed it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So everybody out there who's excited about drafting Mike Wallace, you got your wish. He's going to be on the field.
Now,
all zero of you.
Heath, are you less inclined to get a chicken dish tonight based on Steve Smith's Achilles injury?
Well, it depends on what the special is. Really?
It's shredded chicken. What if it's
you heard from the server, octopus?
A double shredded chicken.
Yeah, dish. This is a place that sits on the water on the intercoastal.
So probably not a lot of chicken.
They do have chicken. I think at least one of my children will order chicken because they don't eat fish.
We're bringing this up because Steve Smith said it looked like shredded chicken in his
knee. And his doctor said
it. His Achilles.
Famous ankle doctor said he'd never seen one as bad. So I'm sure that's not going to be an issue, though. I mean, a guy his age recovering from the worst Achilles tear in the history of football should be fine.
That's actually making me a little less likely. I don't know if I'll change my mind, but right now.
Picture Steve Smith. First of all, if you ever meet him and he's in a good mood, he's one of the nicest people you ever come across. But I can picture him at home just yelling at his Achilles. like just literally screaming at his Achilles. Like, you will be better by week one.
Damn you, shredded chicken. Tight ends. Ladarius Green's on the PUP list. Jimmy Graham will not be ready for the start of camp. And, yeah, all right. Other news. Defensive end Deion Jordan has been conditionally reinstated after missing all of last season for violating the substance abuse policy. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he covered tight ends, particularly Rob Gronkowski, pretty well a couple of years ago.
Well, I mean, then when the Dolphins play the Patriots, you got sick Gronk.
Isn't he the guy that was lobbying to play tight end because Jordan Cameron was so bad?
Deion Jordan?
I think there was
Have a Deion Sims. So
it might have been Deion Sims.
Yeah, it was probably him.
It might have been Deion Ward.
No, it was a defensive player.
I think it's Deion Waiters.
Oh, it might have been Cole Meese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No, I'm not saying sick Gronk. I'm saying maybe this makes them good against tight ends. That's all I was saying.
He's still got to do so much to get on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He still can't play.
This is one of the worst draft picks in NFL history.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
And they moved up to get him, by the way.
Good news on Leonard Floyd. He was carted off the field yesterday because of heat related issues. San Diego defensive end, the rookie Joey Bosa, going to be a camp holdout until he gets his contract signed. And have you guys seen the new Peyton Manning Peyton on Sunday morning DirecTV ad campaign?
I have not.
No.
Okay, we've got three videos on our website. I think it's a Brinson story. Three YouTube videos of the Peyton on Sunday morning. It's very, very funny. Good job, Peyton Manning.
I mean, you'll find any way to, your guitar's not around, sing.
Not too far away. It's in the back.
Go get it. Why don't you sing us a song?
That's all right.
Adam, how do we go through all the news and notes and you don't talk about your Giants receivers?
Oh, more great news about Sterling Shepard?
Yeah.
Was he running first team?
Running first team. It'd be a surprise
if he's not running first team.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Now we're wondering just how much Victor Cruz can potentially take away from him instead of the other way around. I think that's how good I moved him up in my rankings. He's now my favorite rookie receiver.
Yeah.
Took me a while. I apologize for being late.
My storyline there is how much does it take away from Odell Beckham? This is going to be the best group around Beckham since he came into the league a whole 2 years ago.
I still say it helps him.
I don't know. If it helps him, then Eli Manning is going to be a top five quarterback.
Yeah, maybe.
Or those two other receivers are just not going to do very much.
Look, he's still as good of a rookie receiver he is. He's not going to be Beckham.
No.
The way he performed as a rookie.
Is he going to be 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns?
No, but he doesn't have to be. He just has to, you know, be a good complimentary option, and Cruz will be a complimentary option, and they'll do what they do with their tight ends, which they'll use him in the red zone and, you know, get minimal production throughout the rest of the field. Plus Vereen. I mean, it's a good offense.
And I mean, I think they're going to do everything they can to establish those other guys so that once the season comes, they can go bombs away to Odell. I think this Giants offense takes off.
So the Giants leading receivers last year, Beckham had 1,450 yards in 15 games. Reuben Randle had 797 and 8 touchdowns. It's actually like not that bad.
He was a top 35 receiver.
Yeah, he was what?
He was a top 35 fantasy receiver.
He had 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, and he sucked.
Yeah, I know. And but then number 3 on the team was Shane Vereen. So
what did he have?
He had 495 on
Like 50 catches.
On 59 catches.
Ooh, 60 catches.
Yeah. All right. Less Giants, more AFC North. Heath, pick a team. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, or Baltimore?
Let's go Baltimore. I mean, all kinds of positive news coming out of Baltimore.
Yeah, great.
Actually, Jason Lockenfour wrote a pretty good story about them, thinking that their pass defense will be better this year with Eric Weddle, and the fact that they got better toward the end of last season, I encourage you to read
it. Worse.
I think it will be better because teams don't throw very much when they're up 35-0 in the third quarter.
But they get there for some reason. Your Baltimore storyline, this one's real sneaky. Who's your favorite running back for the Ravens?
It was Kenneth Dixon a couple days ago.
Dixon's my favorite, but I'll still take Forsett over him at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to say Forsett.
Remember last year when Breshad Perriman had a banged up knee and John Harbaugh downplayed it? And
no big deal.
Now Breshad Perriman still hasn't played a snap in the NFL.
Remember when any player got hurt and any coach said no big deal?
Right. So I want to see KD on the field. There's I just referred to Kenneth Dixon as KD.
There's so many mouths to feed in that offense in every position. It's just so annoying. It's so annoying.
I kind of feel like that's what the Lions are going to turn into. Like they've got three receivers now that all
should but they're healthy. If the Ravens were healthy, I'd be okay with it. Yeah. You got Achilles,
like five running backs,
fat and out of shape, and Aiken. I mean, that's what you have with those receivers.
That's why you draft Aiken.
Based on their current ADP on Fantasy Pros, Dixon going in the 11th round and Forsett going 85th overall, you know, you want to get both of those guys?
Sure.
Not bad, right?
And then Javorius
Allen's going to be the best one.
Yeah. That's the thing about Forsett.
Watch Trent Richardson win a roster spot and be the best player on that
backup. No, I'm going to watch him get cut.
That's I kind of feel going. Like the best strategy with those running backs might just be once the first two have been taken, take the third one. Whoever makes it third.
I don't really want Allen. Allen's going to be the third one.
Spend the least amount of capital as possible. They're all probably going to start three games.
I also think it's going to be like the way you just put it. They're all going to start three games. It's going to be mix and match throughout the season. The one thing I'll say is I really like their offensive line. And even if they don't have this, you know, dynamic passing game to keep the safeties back, I think their offensive line is going to be pretty darn good. So whoever's back there will get some good opportunities. But they'll end up mixing and matching. Hopefully Kenneth Dixon's injury isn't as severe.
Yeah. Well, and Forsett, I think the big issue with him is touchdowns, because he just does not get short yardage touchdowns hardly ever each of the last two seasons. 2014, Forsett was the number 8 running back in fantasy, and he scored 8 rushing touchdowns. But almost all of them were from 9 yards out or longer. You have to have some short. You can't count on that, you know?
They tried to get Bernard Pierce in there.
I've got a better Ravens storyline.
All right, well, go ahead.
If we were going to rank the teams, starting with the team that I want to avoid the most, I don't want any players from this team. Are the Ravens number one?
No.
Who's number one?
It's between two of the teams in this division.
Right.
Cleveland and Baltimore.
Right. Cleveland, to me, was the knee-jerk.
Yeah, I'd draft Duke Johnson before any of these guys.
I
would definitely draft Duke before these guys. You're right.
Here's the better version of the question.
The 49ers are pretty up there.
Better version of the question. Which team is the last one to have a player drafted in fantasy drafts?
Are you one-upping my one-upping of you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Baltimore. Yeah. It's Baltimore, right?
Yeah, they're the worst.
Because Duke will go. Carlos Hyde will go. Those are two terrible teams with the Browns and the 49ers.
And the Eagles will have a number of guys. Gurley's going to be a first round pick.
Yeah, but then no other Rams may get drafted.
Tavon might get drafted.
But I'm just saying, yeah, it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, Gurley, we're talking about Gurley saved
even
it for
one.
Him.
Yep.
Yeah. DeMarco wow. I think
Burrow will get drafted in Tennessee.
Oh, Baltimore, I think, is the winner.
Yes.
Tennessee. DeMarco Murray will go before him.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's the Ravens.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to the NFC North. Jamie, we got the Vikings, the Lions, we did the Lions. The Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears.
Oh, my. go with the Vikings.
The Vikings. Can Teddy Bridgewater make these wide receivers worth owning?
Well, sure.
Well, let me just say.
Good? That's a different question. Owning,
like,
yes.
Worth owning or worth starting?
That's a better question. Worth starting, because, gosh, we've had some major disappointments each of the last 2 years in Minnesota wide receivers.
3 years.
How about ever since Adrian Peterson entered the league? How many times has a receiver gone over 1,000 yards in Minnesota since AP's been in the league?
Good question.
Once.
Wow, really?
It was Sidney Rice, and it was because Favre was the quarterback.
Wow.
First, he didn't have over 1,000?
He came close 1 year. He was like within 10 yards, so twice if you want to.
Then he got a migraine and skipped the last two games.
I mean, who knows what it was. But I think Favre might have been his quarterback then, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So until Adrian Peterson just, A, falls off, and B, until somebody really steps up, you're not going to see a great receiver. That's another reason why I moved Sterling Shepard ahead of Treadwell. Initially, I thought, well, you know, Treadwell actually has a chance to be a very good receiver in this league. He should have a chance to contribute sooner than later in Minnesota.
I think he fits well with Bridgewater.
I think he does, too. I think he's like possession receiver plus, and I think volume is going to be there for him.
Did you move Shepard ahead of him in PPR, too?
I moved Shepard ahead of him all over
the place. Yeah, I think Treadwell might still be better in PPR.
I think he'll be a top 60 catches or so, right? You're thinking around 60?
He could do better than that.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
I think he's going to be.
This receiving core is so uninspiring.
Right.
I mean, Stephon Diggs is their number one going in. He's not great. Charles Johnson may not make the team. Patterson, you don't know what you're going to get from him. I mean, it's terrible.
Right. So the one consistent player, in my opinion, is Treadwell.
Right.
He's a late round pick who I think is worth taking as your fifth fantasy receiver.
Oh, I take him as my fourth.
If you're going, if you've got three, if you go receiver, 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 and then you just wait forever and he's your fourth and the bye weeks work out, not so bad.
Well,
so that's the guy.
Diggs is going four spots, four receivers ahead of, they're both going late, but Diggs is wide receiver 42 and Treadwell wide receiver 46.
Yeah, I don't see it with Diggs.
Okay. Let's go back to the AFC North, and Dave, we have the Browns and we have hopefully a better team than that. The Steelers. Did we do the Steelers yet? No.
Nope.
Browns and Steelers, Dave.
Let's go with the team that everybody expects to make some noise in the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns. And that noise is going to be,
it was hard to come up with a sneaky storyline, but could Corey Coleman actually be better than Josh Gordon?
Like end of season stats?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wise? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's lay out that scenario that Coleman is still a guy that people should be fairly excited about taking as a late round pick and Gordon won't have as big of an impact as people are hoping.
Well, I think he could still play well even if Gordon does have an impact because you're going to get a four-game scenario of him being the number one guy, so getting force-fed targets. And then when he comes back, if whoever the quarterback may be is playing at a decent level, they'll have a rapport with Coleman, and then you factor in Gordon, who's going to draw some attention. So Coleman could still be a decent fantasy option for you.
Or he could be better because Josh Gordon gets suspended again before the 4 weeks are up.
Or doesn't stay healthy. He's already got a quad injury from not playing for a year and a half almost.
Or just isn't as good as he once was.
Well, that was kind of what I was getting at because Jamie alluded to it yesterday, but in 2014 when Gordon played five games, he got off to a very good start, eight catches for 120 yards, then seven for 75 the next week, and then three games with less than 50 yards and no more than four catches. But the quarterback situation was, you know, Hoyer and Manziel, it was not good. I don't know if it'll be much better this year, but I just want to lay that out there that maybe Gordon won't be anything close to what he was in 2013, and Coleman's a guy that people shouldn't downgrade too much. Okay.
I don't know how you guys feel. To me, he's still the third best rookie receiver. He's behind Shepard. Yes. He's always been behind Shepard for me. He's behind Treadwell. I think he's the third best guy. And he's in, you know, we've talked about this group of receivers, Tavon Austin and, you know, Terrence Williams, Mohamed Sanu. He's in that group. You know, if you feel like you want to take a flyer on somebody like Coleman, you do it.
Okay. Back to the NFC and Heath. Let's see. We've got the Packers and the Bears.
Well, I think we should definitely talk about the Bears.
Let's talk about the Bears.
Lots of talent on this Bears team.
Actually, I'm glad you deserve to lead off on this one. Is the Bears backfield a backfield to completely avoid?
No, I don't think so. I'll take Jordan Howard.
Okay.
I'm not saying for sure that Jordan Howard's going to be better than Jeremy Langford, but I'll take Jordan Howard at his cost versus Jeremy Langford at his cost. The interesting thing is they're talking about like this running back by committee with four or five different backs. They've got three guys that kind of all do the same thing. And then they've got Jordan Howard, who I think has abilities that none of the other guys possess. So
I would disagree with that. I think Langford can, I think he's the most versatile of the ones that they have.
Okay.
I think Howard is the most powerful. I think Kadeem Carey is kind of in between the two, but just not as talented.
I hate the fact that Langford put on weight. Hate it. Absolutely hate
it. How much did he put on?
8 pounds. That is terrible. He's trying to prove they could be more physical. He's trying to be prove they could be more physical.
Right.
He was the fastest running back coming out of college 2 years ago. He's the fastest running back at the combine for Michigan State. That should be what his mindset should be. I'm going to be better. He could put on a few pounds, but never a good situation when you see running backs put on weight.
Well, why do they do it?
He's trying to be more physical.
He wants to
because
be
his yards
up.
After contact were bad.
Right.
People made a big deal about that.
Yeah, he couldn't break a tackle last year.
Right. So this is his attempt to try and rectify.
And it may be 8
that.
Pounds of muscle. I mean, I'm sure
of
that's what the case is. But
I hope it is.
You're taking away what you're best at, and your best at is your speed. So I just don't like it.
He didn't do it. I don't think he did it because he felt like he needed to do it. I bet one of the coaches told him, listen, you know, you've got to get yourself ready to go. If you're going to have this opportunity and take the brass ring, you've got to go and put on a little bit of weight. Coaches still think that that's a great idea, but it's, you know, a coach can easily tell a player to do that. And if it fails, well, we've got another guy. So I don't know what it's going to mean for Langford. This is another player that I really look forward to seeing. Hearing reports from training camp on, and then seeing in the preseason.
I hope he does well. I mean, I met the kid a couple times. He's nice. Seems to be talented. You know, again, we can go back to the critiques of Devontae Freeman, the critiques of Todd Gurley, and maybe some of their performances. And he was saved by his fantasy production. That's what Langford was. He was saved by his fantasy production because a lot of the metrics weren't good. Mm-hmm. But still, he got the job done.
He got
a lot
of big plays here and there. And I'll say this, he's the one player on the Bears that is, or the running back, who's got the best chance to be a three down back.
Absolutely.
But he's got to earn it. And his offensive line, I don't think, is that good, especially with Kyle Long already banged up.
Jamie, we have the Packers and the Steelers remaining, a possible Super Bowl preview. Where would you like to go?
To the Super Bowl. That'd be a fun Super Bowl.
That'd be a great Super Bowl. Yeah. We've seen it before.
We'll alternate like we've been doing. So go to Pittsburgh.
All right, let's go to Pittsburgh. How will Ben Roethlisberger do without Martavis Bryant?
You know, they average 6 points a game in Martavis Bryant's tenure with the Steelers. 6 points per game as a team, as an offense, without Bryant on the field.
6 points total in the game?
Their offense has averaged 6 points less.
Ah. Less.
Oh, look at that word.
Yeah, that's a big word.
Holy shit. Final score. Browns 21, Steelers 6.
Sorry.
It's okay. So
they've averaged 6 points less per game.
It's a touchdown. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Look, you got no Bryant for a season. You got no Le'Veon for 4 games. It's not great.
No.
It comes down to how well they can replace him.
And Ladarius is hurt.
And Ladarius was a big piece of this puzzle.
God, yeah, Antonio Brown's going to catch 200 passes. It's going to be
the only optimism I have for him jumping up into the top five again is if Sammy Coates wins that job
and like looks like a superhuman. Doing
well, couldn't it just be a combo of Coates, Wheaton, and even Hayward Bay? Just playing well.
They need to have somebody that's definitively better than Marcus Wheaton, I think. Because it's Marcus Wheaton.
Wheaton's
not good.
He wasn't as good as I thought he was coming out. He is what he is. He's a good receiver. Just okay.
They need somebody better.
His last 5 games, or was it 7 games? He played well. The unfortunate thing is he did it when he was the third guy.
Right. That's Marcus Wheaton.
Right.
You know, Martavis Bryant didn't really do much down the stretch last year. Unless I'm completely forgetting. But yeah, him being on the field is important. I think those touchdowns, the fact that it's 6 points is kind of probably coincidence, but the touchdowns are really important because for whatever reason, Ben Roethlisberger, whenever he goes on the road, he's so much better at home. Whenever he goes on the road, you just don't see the same amount of touchdowns. You see more interceptions, fewer yards. I mean, each of the last 2 years, especially 2014, he's just had these very strange home road splits. And yeah, Bryant's just a big play waiting to happen. So I don't understand why he's going ahead of Carson Palmer, Ben Roethlisberger. How do you guys have it ranked?
I totally agree with you, and I hate that I have him ranked ahead of Palmer.
Oh, let's change it.
I will.
All right.
Two receivers to watch. We mentioned Coates. There's another one. Eli Rogers has been a camp superstar past couple of years. He's fast. Kind of reminds me of Martavis, just not as good. And, you know, he'll play.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see what they develop.
If Green's not healthy, this is going to be scary.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure Roethlisberger's top 10. If all he's got to
do is right, Brown, Wheaton, and question marks.
Well, as long as he gets Bell back after 4 games, he's still a great player. He really is. But, yeah, that would be tough. Certainly he'd be overdrafted. Let's go to Titletown.
Right, I get to pick the last one, right? I get to pick the last one.
Yeah,
out.
You can. Go ahead. Sure.
What are my choices?
You can go with Green Bay, or we can do the Bears again.
All right, Green Bay.
All right, Green Bay. How risky is Eddie Lacy? Now, we already talked a little bit about him, but how risky do you consider Eddie Lacy?
As of now, I don't consider him very risky, which is amazing.
It is about 260 pounds risky.
Well, yes.
You mean 240?
No, well, 240, I'm okay with him. 260, he's risky.
Well, that's where he's at right now. It's 240.
Just got back to Wisconsin, you know. Brats haven't been cooked yet.
I had a brat for lunch yesterday, cheese. Among other things. It was so good.
Among other things? How many other things did you have?
We went to the buffet.
Oh, yeah, okay, a lot of other things.
It was very weird. All of a sudden, Dave comes over to the table. Dave was very generous. He treated myself and Sergio Gonzalez to lunch. And he comes over to the table. He's like, hey, give me a dollar. Obviously, I'm not going to say no. The guy just bought me lunch. So I give him a dollar. He just walks away. Comes back with a plate of food. Like I said, he's going to tip the omelet person. Dave likes to get omelets at the buffet. Didn't come back with an omelet. So I was a little confused. What happened to the dollar?
What happened?
I tipped the person who cooked me chicken.
Oh, that was very nice
like,
of you.
I had a big plate of, like, I basically got fajitas for myself.
You got Steve Smith's Achilles.
Yeah, I did. That's exactly what it was.
You get a raise or something? You're tipping food at the buffet?
Well, it's like a specific station.
You got to understand something. Dave, when you walk, it's like the red carpet rolls out.
Were you at the casino?
Dave's like a high roller. It's the smaller casino in South Florida, but Dave is like as high roller as you get at this place.
Well, it's because it's the buffet. It's not.
Dave walks in, he flashes his card, everybody gets to eat for free.
Good to see you, Mr. R.
Oh, yeah. It's like passing. It's like, you know, Georgia cheer. It's like they walk in, everybody's, Dave!
Hey, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So he's got to, you know.
Because I've never tipped anyone at a buffet before.
He's got to take care of his people.
You've never tipped? We tip the waitress every time. They just bring a drink, basically, and we still tip them.
Oh, yes. I mean, the people like standing behind the buffet for food.
I've never done that either.
But Dave does like the secret handshake tip. It's like, you know, hey, thanks for the chicken.
Well, yeah, because I mean they're handling food, so they can't touch money. That'd be gross. What did you like put it in their pockets?
I put it right in the G-string.
That's some handshake. I didn't know they had an omelet station
what
there.
What kind of buffet is this?
Something.
We'll take you for the Al Melchior going away lunch.
That sounds great.
Yes.
I don't think that was public knowledge.
What the hell are we talking about football wise? Eddie Lacy and how scared we are of him.
Okay, yeah, Eddie Lacy.
I think you have an idea of just how scared we are because we've moved on to my buffet.
I'm less scared of him than I am Thomas Rawls now. I'm more scared of him than I am LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I like Lacy better than Jamal Charles, so it tells you how much confidence I have.
Last year, if I was a buffet owner, I would have been very scared of Eddie Lacy.
Why? He would have been there all the time. He would have loved
put you out of business.
But then I'm out of business.
Yeah. Haven't you seen that episode of The Simpsons where Homer goes to the all-you-can-eat place? I've seen it. Dave, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, of course.
Dave, as we transition to our emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, the first one is from David from the Goodfellow Air Force Base in Texas, but soon to be the Patrick Air Force Base in Florida.
Oh, that's an upgrade for David.
Thank you for your service.
Absolutely, David. He says, Dear Trogdor the Cheat and Strong Sad, how are you enjoying your Strong Bad binge-watching, Dave?
I've only watched part of one episode. I didn't even watch the link that you sent me.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, I need to give it more of a chance before I officially weigh in.
It's really
it doesn't sound like it's looking promising.
No,
right
I wasn't entertained by the very first episode. I tried to start at the beginning, so it's episode one, part one.
Yeah,
I could see it being funny though. I bet it does get funny.
Well, you know, I think at this point it was really funny when it came out, and the people who like it loved it back then, like me. So, you know, we might be a little biased. I'm not sure that it holds up. I'd like to know though.
Recommendations from him,
from Adam?
Yeah,
it's more from the audience.
Okay, that's fair.
But I was very amused by like there's like a full scene where he's answering emails.
That's all
so
he does.
All you really see is like his head moving up and down, like he's looking at the screen, then he's looking at the keyboard, and you hear the typing sounds. And he wears boxing gloves. So like to me, it's just it all seems kind of like it's mildly amusing.
Yeah,
it doesn't. I didn't really do a good job of.
It's funny.
So there was a special.
Gosh, we're about to when the calendar turns to August. Can we forget about the restaurant story, please?
Probably.
No,
but
we can stop talking about it.
We can talk about your showering habits instead.
Nothing wrong with my showering habits.
Okay.
So David says, I really appreciate you guys doing the live 10-team mock draft on the podcast. You each had valuable input, but I thought you put way too much emphasis on getting insurance policies for certain running backs. As a person that has historically stuck to 10-team leagues, it's my opinion that this is the perfect type of league to go for multiple lottery tickets instead of wasting a pick on a backup to Ajayi. Yes, Dave, horrible pick.
I agree.
Even last year when my number one pick, Bell, got hurt, I had solid depth because Martin and Freeman hit the lottery and D'Angelo was on the waiver wire. So he just thinks that we... Actually, this is not the first person who said that. I've gotten that feedback a little bit, that we put too much emphasis on handcuffs.
I don't think he's wrong.
It's an interesting philosophy.
I think it's... You can...
And in some cases, I think it really depends on who the backup is.
And your team. Like, the way Dave's team was built... I think you went a little too handcuff crazy, but like taking the two Dolphins guys with the middle of your draft
to be my third running back,
right.
Third and fourth running back.
And especially if it's an uncertain situation, I don't have a problem with that. Conversely, though, I love stealing other people's handcuffs. Yeah. Like if I think DeAndre Washington is going to play a lot, I'm going to take him late while the Latavius Murray owner is sitting there with his thumb up as you know what.
No, what is what? Where Dave puts tips?
Yes.
There. Ah, I gotcha. Okay, well, it was interesting, and I think we all agree that we don't want a handcuff unless the guy we're taking has potential to be really good, you know, right?
It's kind of... Well, obviously the best handcuff right now is D'Angelo Williams. Can't argue that. You get 4 games of a starter, and then you know who knows what else happens from there.
Right.
Start ranking them the rest of their way however you think they're going to go. Like, I think Adrian Peterson is going to miss some time this year because I'm nervous of his age and his workload. So I'm taking Jared McKinnon and not taking Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, actually.
It's almost like you need that conviction in the backup.
Well, hold on.
Lack of conviction in the starter.
Exactly.
I pretty much don't take handcuffs unless we get to the point in the draft where that running back's one of my top running backs left on the board.
Right. Well, I feel the same way.
Let me jump in because we have an email from Tom from Syracuse. Are there any handcuffs? He claims to be in the same 12-team league in the SFB 480 as Jamie. He said he picked right after Jamie and took Kobe Fleener before Jamie had the chance. So
sure.
Cool. So Tom says, are there any handcuffs?
Congrats on your second place finish.
Are there any handcuffs that you feel are more talented than the starter they back up?
Whoa. Wait a second. That's the part of the email you're going to read.
You want me to read the whole thing?
You're skipping the first paragraph, which is by far the best part of the email.
Adam, sorry you couldn't join us in the SFB 480 this year. I had the pleasure of drafting after Jamie and was happy to take Kobe Fleener before he did. Maybe next year, the SFB will increase the number of analysts to include lesser-known personalities such as yourself.
I think you should tell everybody that who communicated with you on Twitter and
Scott
apologized
Fish
to you.
Said he felt really bad. I said, don't worry about it. It's podcast comedy gold now.
Yes.
But what did we find out? There's 360 analysts, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, then so I don't feel bad at all.
You moved up in the world, buddy.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good now. Anyway, any handcuffs that are more talented than the starter?
Jordan Howard.
I'm not ready to say
could
that.
Could be one, yeah.
But he could. Fine. He could be one.
I mean, Kenneth Dixon. Depending on the Kenneth Dixon's a good one.
Kenneth Dixon's a very good
one. Paul Perkins. I would take him over Rashad Jennings.
I'm not ready for that.
That's... Ooh, we got quiet.
Depends who you consider the Dolphins starter and who you consider to be the more talented of the two.
Same thing in Cleveland. Duke Johnson versus Isaiah Crowell.
I mean, look, he's advocating Gio over Hill.
I think I didn't say Gio at the beginning because I don't really consider him a handcuff just because they're both, but yes.
And conversely, same situation. Same Duke, you consider to be Danny Whitta to be more talented than Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, it was pretty cool last year seeing Thomas Rawls and realizing that he was definitely more talented at that point in his career than Marshawn Lynch. He looked really, really good.
And David Johnson compared to the other two guys.
Yeah.
How about I got a dark horse one for you. Josh Ferguson over Frank Gore.
Yes. Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
Yes.
You can't compare their bodies of work because Frank Gore is awesome.
Right.
But he has been awesome. How awesome is he going to be now versus Ferguson, who could actually pan out to be a pretty good
back. I'm disappointed in you, Jamie. I'm disappointed in you. You could have taken a cheap shot there. You could have said Derrick Henry.
Oh.
DeMarco Murray.
By the way, sure. I don't know if this is going to be funny. It probably won't now because it's lost in the moment. I was going to say, I would take Ferguson from Clarissa Explains It All over Frank Gore. Isn't that funny? Nick, where's Nick from?
Unfunnyville, New York.
I'm in an auction 10-team keeper league with a budget of $200, and I can only keep two players. So who would you keep? $200 auction here. Todd Gurley for 18? Yes. So pick one more. Brandon Marshall for 11, Jordan Reed for 6, or Doug Martin for 16? Marshall for 11, Reed for 6, Doug Martin 16.
Marshall's out for me, even though it's a good value. All these are great values for a $200 budget.
Yeah, I think Marshall might be a better value than Martin, but they're all so cheap for a $200 budget. I think I'd do Martin.
I'd go Marshall for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Easy. Interesting.
Okay. Travis.
Reed would be third for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about keeping Gurley and Reed.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was at on.
Okay.
But Martin definitely is a great value at 16.
They're all together.
Screw it. I'm changing my mind. I'm going Gurley and Martin.
Gurley and Martin?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'll go Gurley and Marshall.
Travis in the Lau? Are you reading this?
That's the Lou. That's
but it
St.
says
Louis.
Not the Lou.
Oh.
It says Travis in the LOU, parentheses, not the LOO. Is that a different Lou?
Maybe he's in the Lou, but not the toilet Lou.
Oh, that's what it is.
Because in Australia, the loo is known as the toilet. That's Australia, right? I'm not making that up.
I think it's, I don't know
anything about what you're talking about.
I'm Googling loo toilet right now.
Okay. Well, anyway, Travis says, dear Gary, Donald, and Hillary. And then he says, Prez candidates. And if we didn't know that, Travis, then that would be really bad.
Oh, it's British. It's not Australian.
Okay. Apologize. Yeah. How is AJ Green going to be this year? In an auction draft, he seems to be an affordable number one to buy. I'm just worried about the new offensive coordinator and how Green and Dalton might not be as dialed in as last year. What do you all think?
I would not worry about the new offensive coordinator.
No.
I don't think he's going to change the verbiage or the system. And if there is a change, I would think it would be more pass happy and less running.
Exactly. Ken Zampezi, the son of Ernie Zampezi, who was part of the Air Coryell offense experience in the National Football League. It's his first crack at calling plays in the NFL.
And Ken was part of the greatest show on turf, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, everything about this screams, when in doubt, let Dalton throw.
Ugh.
No, I mean, honestly, that's part of the reason why I still like Dalton.
I understand.
I mean, like is a relative term. He's not a top 12 quarterback for me, but I like him more than you, Jamie.
Yeah.
Because I think the volume will be there for him for sure, and that's a good thing for AJ Green.
Alrighty. Next up. Last email. This is from Matt, sadly St. Louis. Why is that sad, Heath?
Sadly.
There's no more teams.
Yeah. Name the NFL team in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the guy who has two NFL teams in his city. In his area.
Or maybe he'd rather live somewhere else and he's just unhappy with St. Louis.
I'm not going to say anything bad about St. Louis.
It says
that was Dave.
Dear Clarence,
I didn't say anything that bad.
Clarence, Morris, and Saul. You know, I think these are the barbershop guys, and I had to Google this. I think these are the barbershop guys in Coming to America. So yeah, pretty cool. I am a hair young, I'm 38, for remembering Prince, but I watched Purple Rain on a transatlantic flight this week. Incredible soundtrack. Where does that soundtrack rank for you guys? We talked about soundtracks yesterday for movies. Jamie's favorite is The Bodyguard. What about Purple Rain, guys?
It's up there.
Purple Rain is second behind The Bodyguard.
My first would be Dazed and Confused, and then Purple Rain.
Ooh.
I've got The Dark Knight is up there for me. Swingers is up there for me.
Yeah. Boogie Nights?
No, I don't really know much about Boogie Nights soundtrack. I agree with you on Dazed and Confused.
No, I don't.
There are a lot, but Purple
Rain.
What
do you mean you don't?
Pretty much every song on here I don't like. I like Stranglehold. I like Tush. I like School's Out. No, okay, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And here's the equivalent. Like, we're not that far apart in age, Heath, but we're far apart enough where I would say that, American Pie is one of my favorite soundtracks. And guys, Rocky V. Or Rocky IV, right?
Rocky IV. Rocky IV. Sure. Yeah.
That's a great one.
That's a very good one. So maybe Purple Rain isn't quite as high for me as I thought.
Reality Bites.
That's a good soundtrack. Yep.
That's the one right there.
How do I not know?
Know what? Reality Bites?
Well, yeah. Like I don't even know if I've seen that movie.
I've never seen the movie, but the soundtrack is My Sharona. Let's see. Stay by Lisa Loeb, right?
Okay. Really? These are the first two songs?
Dude, I am not even ashamed of saying I like that song. That song's great.
The soundtrack is good.
Purple Rain is better.
Purple Rain is better.
By default, immediately.
I'm not really a Prince guy, I gotta be honest with you. All I Want Is You by U2 is also on that album, and Tempted by Squeeze. That's a really good one. Okay, that's it for today's show. Guys, have a great weekend! Yeah!
You too. We got a draft today.
What time? 2?
You don't want to do it? I'd kick you out.
No, I'll do it. I'm down. I'm good. Check it out on the website. That's it for Dave, for Heath, for Jamie. I'm Adam. Everybody, will talk to you on Monday.
You only hear what you want to.
Bye.